bin or something with a little handle on it, you know, if you went to the soda fountain back then. But it dispensed little tiny round hard candies. I mean, they're really tiny, like little BBs or something. And and if you did something well, Grandpa would let you go over there and turn the little handle and get this little cup of candies, and it just thrilled us all. So it was quite an experience growing up around him. I wish that I had more time to spend with him, but, of course, our family moved from Cincinnati down to Florida when I was quite small, so... my memories are probably not as good as Randy's, because Randy's, you know, a few years older than me, and he was bigger and got to do more and probably can remember more than I do.
Yeah, well, we found ourselves at Grandpa's house on several different occasions when Mom and Dad would go out and start making some money while the kids would go back with them, and then pretty soon we'd be back at Grandma and Grandpa's house for a while. Grandpa would work out of his bedroom. He had an office in there as well as a fireplace and a lot of neat things that if you walked by there at the right particular time, well, he'd be coming out to go get a drink of water or go to the bathroom or something, and he'd grab you and bring you in there and tell you stories and read secretary stories and talk about new secretary adventures that were coming up and different things that would go on, and he'd just really interest you all day. And as John says, you know, teach you to play chess and we read the Bible. He's a very religious man. We went to church every Sunday and sat right up front and did all the things that you do in a Catholic church. He was quite something there.
Now, he lived in down in the Terrace Park area? Was that...
Well, it was Hyde Park.
Hyde Park, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he'd lived in different places over the times, but when we lived with him, it was Hyde Park there on Erie Avenue.
25-6.
Yeah, there you go, yeah, John.
25-6 Erie. Yep, I remember that well.
Yeah. And we used to go upstairs, and there was he had a top floor in the attic that was filled with books and things, and of course we'd get up there and play and go out the window and get on the roof and run around, and sometimes he'd have to come rescue us because we couldn't get back off the roof. But Grandpa was always there. He seemed to know what was in a kid's mind, and he was right there with us.
That's an interesting point, that he seemed to know what was in a kid's mind, because mm-hmm. not every adult does. And I think there is a certain childlike quality, I think, in some people that that enables them to communicate well with younger people, whether it's face-to-face with you as a grandson or through the pages of a book.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was very protective, too. I can remember my older brother and I would sometimes want to do something, and the younger brother would keep us from doing it because we were supposed to watch him, and Grandpa would always protect the young one, you know, mess with him. I guess somebody may be trying to call us, so whatever. If you hear that sound, sorry about that.
Okay, no, that's okay. We heard a little something there. Thanks to your efforts, there are some characters in the past that have faded into the dustbin of time, but you're really active as trying to perpetuate and keep alive some of these great stories you mentioned through the reprints, and you have a wonderful website that people can go to, and it's secretary.com, is that correct?
Right, yeah, very easy to remember.
And
everything's free there. There's no charge. So if anybody who wants to become a Fair and Square Club member, if you consider yourself a Fair and Square person, you're invited to join Secretary Hawkins Fair and Square Club, no charge.
And the website is nice because not only do you talk about the books, but you give a little biography of the family. And so for anybody who is really any interest at all, it's a wonderful opportunity for them to relive some memories and investigate. Because these stories are timeless. They really are. I mean, it's not something that... is kind of fixed in the past. I think kids today would enjoy these just as well as the kids back in the 1930s and 40s.
Oh, I can assure you that they did, because my youngest son, when he was growing up, when he got to the age where, you know, he was finished with the little kids' books and things, you know, the real little kids' books, you know, little 3- and 4-year-old books, I started reading these books to him, and every night before he would go to bed, we would sit down and read a chapter, and we went through all 11 books that had been printed at that time, and he really looked forward to that, and it was really great time for us to spend together. It was just Dad and his son on the couch, without the TV, without any video games, without any of that, reading these stories, and he remembers them all quite well. In fact, just recently I asked him, I said, TJ, what was Secretary Hawkins' real name? And he thought for a second. He said, Gregory. So he remembered that. That was good. And I also have a young grandson. I actually have two grandsons. One of them I just spoke with today, as a matter of fact. His name is Owen, and he lives down in Tampa, Florida. And he started reading the books now, too. And he really enjoyed them. In fact, his mom told me that once he started reading, he couldn't put it down. So they are really exciting, and they're really good. They're all mystery stories. So if kids like mysteries and like figuring out mysteries and things, these books are just great. They'll really enjoy them. And parents can enjoy them, too, and they can spend some time with their kids, be it boys or girls or whatever, because they work for both genders. Get one or more of the books and sit down and read it together. It'll be a great experience.
Yeah, I wish more people would do that. This is Randy again.
Right.
There's so many of the club members of today. I started this back again when the Internet started becoming popular, and I got into it in 1999. But so many people will write to me and say that they read these stories together with their father or with their son or with their daughter, and they just really enjoy the good, clean fun and the character-building principles that Secretary Hawkins is all about, because it's all about the good guys, and we're all good guys. And, you know, just having a fat guy as the hero in a story shows you that, you know, he's teaching that it doesn't matter what you look like or what people might think of the way you look, it's what's inside that counts. And that's sticking together and having the character to follow through on your convictions makes you a real person.
Absolutely, and they're exciting too. I mean, some of the adventures are just as exciting, and you know, the competition these days, these poor kids, I don't think they realize that these computer games and things like that, that you can still get such great enjoyment, more enjoyment, by using your imagination and reading these books. The imagination is the greatest computer ever invented, and hopefully more kids will take advantage of this.
Right. Well, you know, back in, I think it was 2006, in the Oprah magazine, one of our club members, club member number 11 actually, is Harper Lee, this author who wrote To Kill a Mockingbird, and that particular author built a lot of herself by reading Secretary Hawkins' books, which I can tell you about sometime, and show you the inscriptions that she put in Grandpa's book. But in that letter that she wrote to Oprah, she mentioned Secretary Hawkins and how reading a book is far better than trying to curl up in bed with plastic and metal and a computer, that there'll never be a substitute for the printed word, because you really get involved and it become part of that story. And she really pushed everybody to read books.
Absolutely. Well, she even used the title, didn't she? Stoner's Boy and Mockingbird?
Stoner's Boy and Grey Ghost were in several of chapters. Actually, the last two pages of To Kill a Mockingbird is all about Secretary Hawkins and Stoner's Boy and the Grey Ghost. And the principle of the Kill a Mockingbird story is that you really don't know somebody until you walk in their shoes. And that's what she learned from reading Secretary Hawkins, and which is why she used Secretary as the model of those last two pages to form the moral of that story.
Well, Randy, let's talk about what's coming up in a couple of weeks. I guess it's the first annual national meeting of the Secretary Hawkins Club, and what are some of the things that will be going on?
Well, the club members have done one heck of a job. I've got five club members that live in the area up in Cincinnati and Covington. Diane Schneider, Lou Batch, Ellen Francis, Dan Kindel, Greg Bogosian, and then this Mike Martini fellow that we know about from club member 1226, actually, 2005. And they've done just a bang-up job of getting things together, and they've actually, Diane has introduced Secretary Hawkins to the Beringer Crawford Museum, and they're putting in some permanent and some temporary displays for Secretary Hawkins, which is the first time that's happened in a museum, and we're just thrilled about that. They're coming up on June the 4th is our meeting time, and that's going to be at the Crawford, or the Barringer Crawford Museum in their meeting rooms there. You can take a look at the website, thesecretary.com, and get all the information, but just to give you a brief thing that I'll be speaking, we'll